You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Happy Father's Day, Scott.
Happy Father's Day to you, John. How was your Father's Day? I had a great Father's Day. I got to take a nap.
Not me. You know, every year my daughter has her recital. And every year I think, yeah, I'm not going to go on Father's Day. And I always mix it up and take the Saturday off and then go on Father's Day. But the reason why, because it's Saturday and Sunday, the reason why I didn't go on Saturday is my son had a baseball game. So I took him to that. And then today I went and sat for 3 freaking hours. Actually got there, left the house at 2:15. Just got home just before the show.
Isn't that what it's all about?
What?
Being a father?
What's that?
Just taking 3 hours out of your day to support your kids.
No. See, my daughter spent like 4 minutes on the stage. Okay?
Okay.
I didn't support my kid. I supported my kid for 4 minutes. I was there supporting everybody else's kids for the other 2 hours and 56 minutes.
Oy.
You see what I'm saying?
A recital for what?
Dance.
Dance? Was she by
tumbling.
Herself or with a group or what?
Group.
Yeah.
She was fantastic, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
I would expect nothing less.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable academic scores. Report card came back. They want her in some sort of accelerated Spanish class because of her literacy.
C, John. C.
C, yeah. Yeah, I mean Jess. Yeah.
All right, well, while we were out, Tim Russert died, John. Tim Russert, dead.
Probably all those letters I sent him.
Really? The moderator of Meet the Press?
Oh, man, I used to send him shit all the time.
Died Friday after suffering a heart attack.
Yeah, that blows.
58, John. 58, he's dead.
Yeah,
that's why we can't
that?
Vote for McCain. McCain's like, what, 82?
Yeah, he'll live till he's 107. No?
He was recording voiceovers for Sunday's Meet the Press broadcast when he collapsed.
Wow.
He was rushed to the hospital where resuscitation efforts were unsuccessful, John.
Wow.
Tim Russert, dead at 58.
That sucks.
That does suck. You have a wife and kids?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to watch the guy all the time on Sunday.
They credit him with being the guy that would interview people and then shove previous video clips in their face.
Right.
And say, hey, well, that's not what you're saying today. You said this 2 years ago. Why'd you change your mind?
Except with Cheney or Bush,
right,
or any of those guys. The only people he'd do that to is that somebody who was insignificant. I never saw him do that with Cheney. As a matter of fact, Cheney said, hey, let's go on Meet the Press. That's where we can spin all our shit.
Oh, that was his idea.
Yeah.
Also in news, Kukinich?
Kucinich.
Submitted 35 articles of
impeachment. Yeah.
For the W. You know, I read all 35.
Yeah.
Incompetence wasn't in there. I don't know why. But he said, if nobody takes action, I'll come back with 60 of them. Okay?
Yeah.
And
we'll
is Pelosi
keep doing it.
What's Pelosi doing?
She's a piece
Nothing.
Of shit.
I got her phone
She's
number. You
useless.
Want to call her?
Sure.
Area code 202-225.
Oh, hold on. Let me.
4965. We can leave
up
a message.
Let me open
Maybe
up
she'll
Skype.
Answer. Wouldn't that be something if she answered?
Maybe. She might.
Also, the Lakers lost game 4. They were up by 24 points and they
wow.
lost. Kobe's no Jordan. Jordan wouldn't have allowed that to happen. Lose by when you're up by 24. with 20 minutes to go in the game. That's ridiculous. They were outscored like 47 to 13 or something. That's a goddamn joke.
What's the number?
202-225-4965.
All right.
So she's not doing nothing about it. Nothing.
You've reached the office of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. The office is currently closed. Please leave your name and number, and someone will return your call as soon as possible. If you are a constituent and would like to leave a comment on a particular issue, please leave your name, your address, and the comment.
Hello?
At the tone.
Thank Hello?
You.
Sorry, cannot leave a message now because this user's mailbox is full.
What?
To transfer to another extension, press star T. To have
You know why? They posted that phone number out on the web.
Hang up.
So probably everybody in the goddamn country is calling her and saying, hey, what's wrong with you? Let's get this impeachment going.
Unbelievable.
Well, that sucks. Couldn't even leave a message.
That's right. It stinks.
That's right.
That's right.
It does stink.
It stinks.
It stinks.
Unbelievable.
All right, John, what else happened this week for you? Anything of note?
Let's see. No.
Nothing.
I was sick, man.
Oh, that's right.
I was sick
all
week.
We couldn't practice.
Yeah.
I was all ready to do schools out.
Were you?
At practice. Well, actually, I have all the pieces, but I need to put them in order now. So I should be able to get that ready by Thursday.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah, it helps.
School's out.
That's a kick-ass bass line,
summer.
Man. Well, that's the easy part.
What's the hard part?
The hard part is the beginning, and then there's this riff in the middle that it took me a long time to get the finger speed for. I'm trying to play the whole thing without a pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. You're going all fingers.
I'm trying.
I'm going to call you Scotty Fingers.
Trying to go fingers.
Scotty Fingers.
Like Pike Fingers? Remember Pike Fingers?
Pike Fingers. Pike Fingers. Yeah, I remember that.
It's a bassist we used to play with, Pike Fingers.
Yeah. Pike Fingers.
All right, John, I got some email.
Pike Fingers.
Christopher sent us an email of a song that we should play and record. Have you ever heard of this? Damage Goods, Gang of Four.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard it. I may have, but I have no recollection. I don't even know what is the song title and what is the band title. Is Gang of Four the band?
Yes.
And Damaged Goods the name of the song?
Yes.
The song rocks, and the really cool thing is it sounds like Scott is singing it.
Oh.
I had to look twice at my Zune player to make sure it wasn't Kangaroo
Court. It doesn't sound anything like you.
Well, according to Christopher, it doesn't. Perception is reality,
yeah,
John. Okay?
Whatever.
Okay. God damn it.
Whatever.
Yeah. School's out, man.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Got an email from Lee, I'm sorry, Paraboli.
Oh, yeah.
So we both downloaded The God Delusion.
Right.
By Richard Dawkins. And then I still haven't, what do you call it, uncompressed it?
Yeah, it's a rar.
It's a rar. I got to uncompress it and throw my iPod. He had some other recommendations, and but thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
I look forward to listening to Richard Dawkins. Is he the guy who actually reads the book, Richard Dawkins, or do they have some other guy?
Yeah, he does. He reads it.
Nice.
And some other chick. Some chick is reading it, too.
A chick, too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
She like, picks up, like, on the anecdotal stuff, or when he, like, he says something sarcastic, so he'll be saying, I remember back when I was a child, and I used to think, and then she'll come in, boy, am I silly. I have silly pants. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, like that.
I see. Yes, very good. That's good. All right, that reminds me, on the forum, there's a thread out there on the forum
Yeah.
that accuses me of being a pretard.
A pretard? What's that?
Of mixing up, of being the one who said that Dawkins was
you
God
did.
Is not great.
You
I did not.
You did.
I didn't.
Yeah,
that's
prove
why
it.
I brought
prove
the clip
it.
In. The clip is called John and Scott. Go ahead and play that now.
What
all
clip?
Right? It's, what? It was.
I don't
it was,
have any clip.
Come on,
I don't know what
iPod.
You're talking about.
Go ahead and play that
I
right now.
I don't know what clip
you know,
you're talking about.
You know, at the beginning
about.
Of the show, we
what?
Say, I'm John.
What?
I'm Scott.
What?
You think people would know who we are by now.
Two books on the airplane.
You did.
Yes, I read God Is Not Great. I think you got that from
yeah.
me, John.
Yeah.
I read that. I finished that. Have you read that yet?
Most of it.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I just thought it was repetitive after a while.
It was
like, I get it already,
right,
Dawkins.
Right. It was, no, this is Christopher Hitchens.
Oh,
God
sorry.
Is Not Great.
God Is
okay.
Not Great.
Are we talking
sorry.
About the same book? Yeah, see? It was
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I said I was sorry.
It was you. Yeah, but this thread is out on the forum calling me like some ignoramus.
And how do you get a sound clip?
Because I can't get the author in the title.
I know I'm a better producer than that. How does a sound clip sound like that?
Here's why. I went and got it at the last minute, and I figured...
From where?
Let me make it sound worse than our show so people know that we're listening to a clip. If we made it sound as good as the show, they wouldn't know if they were listening to a clip
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, they would. We say, okay, here's the clip. Click. End clip. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, whatever. I just... Everybody out there on the forum, you owe me an apology, goddammit.
Oh, bloop, bloop, bloop. You're pathetic.
And one of them was this Andrew, UK character. I tell you that, John. He also is trying to start a war.
A war.
Did you see that email?
Yeah, I did.
Those bastards, I like how they giggle like schoolgirls after they say, best podcast from Chicago. Tee hee hee.
That's what I wrote, stupid.
Oh, here's what Andrew wrote.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Did you hear this one?
You
from
get us
Punky?
Mixed up now?
This means war. Do we have that clip?
Yeah.
DumbassityLive.com.
Dumbass, DumbassityLive.com. Live.com.
Yeah, check it next week.
It's the best podcast out of Chicago.
Talking of which, John's in Germany.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh. Well, he was last week.
Nice of him to pop in.
Yeah. A week after I came back from Cologne, he went to near Dortmund, I think.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I hope you had a very nice time, John. And nice of you to let us know that you're coming over.
It's not getting over, is it? Blimey.
Tone.
Yes, sir.
How far is it, right, from Columbus, Mississippi to Chicago?
I don't know.
Long way. And how far is it from Dortmund to the Highwayman's Lodge?
Shorter.
Short way. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So they're upset. You went to Germany and didn't even let them know.
Well, you know.
They would have popped over. You could have popped over there.
I flew over with a limey. And we're supposed to. We had our flights booked to go through Heathrow first. And he didn't know about this yet, but he hadn't booked his flights yet. And it was set up to go through Heathrow. And. Right when he started booking the flight, one of the guys changed him and gave us his other flight that went through Copenhagen. So we book our flights, and he goes, "We're not going to Heathrow." I said, "No." I said, "We could." I mean, this guy Pete was setting us up with the flights, and this guy Steve said, "Here's one that goes through London. Why don't we take this one?" He goes, "Oh, mate." Well, they already reserved him because he wanted to stay a couple of days after or go early. And I'm like, "Dude, yeah, that'd have been great. I know some guys over there." And I even got a little message from Andrew asking if we were going to, you know, pop through London.
Mm-hmm.
So there, and I didn't want to go on this trip in the first place. So I was really fucking bugged about the whole thing.
Disgusted.
Yeah. And it turned out to be okay. And it turned out one of the guys, Steve, actually did stay. He flew back to London after our trip and stayed for like 4 days with his and met his wife there. So we could have flew back and hung out in London for a couple of days. So we kind of fucked that whole thing up.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
So if I if I had known and we didn't have such a short time to do it, I definitely would have planned it that way. Then we could have hooked up.
Nice.
So it's my bad. But I did communicate a little bit with Tony Hearn because he was in Cologne.
Oh,
which is right about an hour away from where I was. So we're trying to cross paths.
But you couldn't.
But no, they had us way too busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right, then. Well, moving on. We got some movie news, John.
You do?
Yes, movie news.
What do you got?
Get this. Eddie Murphy is set to reprise his role in police drama Beverly
Shut
Hills
up.
Cop. The actor will team up with director
four?
Brett Ratner to return for the fourth installment of the franchise.
No.
Is it really a franchise? I mean, the first one was the only one that was any good. Does that make a franchise?
No, I think it's, you know.
As Michigan Detective Axel Foley. Yeah. It is the hope. It is hope the film will be shot next year in time for a 2010 release. The first movie, John, guess how much the first movie made in 1984?
I don't know.
$158 million.
Gosh, shut up!
Really?
That's worldwide, John, worldwide.
That's it?
That's it.
That was a great movie, man.
That was a great movie. He had a couple of great movies there. He had Trading Places.
48 Hours.
48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, anything
else? That's about it. That's it.
Is that it? His whole career is based on those three movies.
What about that vampire movie?
Oh, no.
I forgot to put that one as a movie I hate. What about The Nutty Professor?
I never saw it. I don't know.
Mama's House or whatever that other. Yeah,
he's involved with Disney.
Disney.
John, you didn't see any
movies? Dr. Doolittle?
No movies. You didn't see any movies?
I can't recall.
I saw, I'm going to talk about three movies, John. I'm going to talk about three. Oh, no, four. Just want to say
How
that
do you
I
have
saw
time, man?
Charlie yeah. Parker's War last night.
Charlie Parker.
Charlie Wilson. You mean? Who's Charlie Parker?
I don't know.
Is he a jazz guy? Isn't he the bird?
Now somebody's going to yell at me on the forum. Hey, stupid ass John. It's Charlie Wilson.
Charlie Frankenstein's War. That was a great movie. Great movie. I love that movie. Yeah, yeah.
How'd you like Philip Seymour Hoffman, man?
Oh, I thought he was great.
Was that bit great or what?
Yeah, that really established his character. And a guy who can get things done. That's what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the right connections
and he
can get things done.
That's me, man. That's me.
Right on.
I'm that kind of guy. I'm not, you know, I'm not diplomatic. I'm not soft. I don't have those silky skills.
Right on.
You do. You got the good bullshit skills.
What does that mean, bullshit skills? What is that? Like everything that comes out of my mouth is
pretty
a bunch
much,
of shit?
Yeah, you and Rick, 50-50. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. I can make it sound convincing.
So can Rick. yeah. Okay, I'm on my way back from the Wisconsin Dells. Okay. I can't wait to tell Scott.
Yeah.
What? It was great. Did we talk about that gig?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Did
the
we
block
have
party
a podcast
gig?
Last week?
We did, yeah.
Shit, man.
It wasn't the longest one we've ever done, but it was up there, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so the other movie I saw, this, and I was, you know, I talk about this all the time. If people order DirecTV in my neighborhood, I can watch what they're watching. But I'm at their mercy. Like, if they decide to fast forward.
That's awesome.
But.
How the hell does that happen?
So I'm.
That doesn't make sense.
I'm skimming the channels.
Wait a minute. If they fast forward, that doesn't make sense because the fast forward is on their hard drive, on their TiVo.
I can see it. It's not necessarily TiVo. It's DirecTV through the cable. So I don't know how that works.
Yeah, there's a buffer. There's got to be a hard drive or something.
Well, sometimes I'm watching.
Fast forward to fucking satellite.
It's sometimes they fast forward. Sometimes they just stop watching, and the signal just disappears right when I'm into it.
That's great.
So I'm flipping through the channels after Charlie Wilson's War and Mad Max, the original, comes
out. Oh, yeah.
And the really great thing for me about this is The ones that I haven't seen it in 15 years. I've seen it about five times. But the ones that I've seen,
the one
I've seen five times or whatever, it was always dubbed.
Yeah,
with the speed racer guys, Pops Racer.
Pops Racer. Oh, speed.
But this time, it was no dub. It was the original soundtrack, which when the overdubs did their thing, they must have listened to Mad Max because they had everything was exactly the way the original actors performed it, except without the Australian accents. Like when Mel goes in and sees Goose.
Yeah.
And he runs out and he's like, that's not the goose in there. I don't know what that thing is. I wish I remembered the line. So I'm watching this movie and I'm like, okay, I haven't seen it in 15 years, but I was digging it when I was younger. And, you know, a couple things. I thought the toe cutter, remember toe cutter?
Yeah.
The guy who shaved the one eyebrow?
Yeah.
I thought he gave a great performance. The one thing that really bugged me, though, is I just talked about it. When they get the goose and they burn him.
Yeah.
And then he's in the hospital. What does Mad Max do? Do you remember?
No.
He goes on vacation.
Oh, yeah. The original Mad Max.
Yeah. He just goes on vacation. Yeah, I'm going to go on vacation. Max, you should take some couple weeks off. Now, if let's say you and I were cops, right, John? And somebody torched you and burned you.
I never saw Mad Max with overdubs. Are you talking about Road Warrior?
No, I'm talking about Mad Max.
Oh, I never saw that one with overdubs. I always saw that one because I know Road Warrior was overdubbed.
No, Road Warrior was not.
Yes, it was.
No.
Yes.
No. I've never seen Road Warrior overdubbed. I saw Mad Max overdubbed. So I got to see Mad Max without the overdub this weekend.
Okay. Vacation.
let's say you and I are cops or whatever. We're podcasters. And somebody burns you? I'm going to go on vacation? What is that? No. I'm going to get all the other cops together and we're going to take these motherfuckers down.
Right.
So no, he goes on vacation. And then while he's on vacation, the gang catches up to him and, you know, offs the wife and the kid. And then he gets mad. That's when he gets mad. So it's like 90 minutes of this, and then there's only 8 minutes of revenge. Revenga. Where he gets back at him. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But the cars are still fucking cool as shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
And the opening scene was great with the Knight Rider, where the guy's just like insane. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie.
So there you have it, Mad Max without the overdub.
Without.
The other movie I saw, John, is There Will Be Blood. There Will Be Blood.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And you should see it, and I recommend it for all atheists. Because the main character, Daniel Day-Lewis, is an oil man, but he's also a skeptic.
Yeah.
But he does whatever it takes to make money. And get this oil out of the ground. And he runs into this one town in California where the land is just saturated with oil. But he has to deal with this guy, Eli. Eli is the town preacher. So he's got to go through a bunch of shit to get his oil out of the ground. So it's a battle between these two characters throughout the movie. Eli wants shit, he wants shit, and they got to work with each other. It's not a good relationship. And I got to tell you, it's kind of a slow movie. For example, there's not a word of dialogue for the first 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Not a word. But it establishes Daniel Day-Lewis's character.
What are they, like long pauses and sighs?
No. There's no dialogue whatsoever. It's just him drilling for... Actually, he started out as a silver miner. And he accidentally hit some oil. And then he becomes obsessed with digging for oil.
The Earl.
And the performances from Daniel Day-Lewis are exceptional. I think he won the award, didn't he?
I don't know.
But this other guy who I didn't hear about too much, Paul Dano, who plays Eli, the preacher.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job. Really well done. Really well done.
Well done.
And the ending of this movie, I can't recommend it to everybody. I think if you're a skeptic or you're an atheist, you should see it. It's going to be, there's some parts that are going to be tough, you know, because it's slow as hell. But the ending is such a great payoff at the end. I mean, it's so fucking awesome at the end.
Nice.
So I would give that 3.5 out of 4.
Oh, cool.
Not recommended for everybody, though.
Not for
kids.
Like,
for example, if you're a Christian, you're going to fucking hate it.
Really?
You're going to hate this movie. Yeah. It's not for kids.
It's not for kids.
Not for kids.
Not a G rating.
No.
Ah, I see.
Then the other movie, actually, it's got a 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. It's already in the top 250. I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, it's well shot, really well acted. But, you know, some people aren't into that. Like you. You're in for the bombs and the boobs.
Yeah.
There's no boobs. There's a couple of explosions. There's some quality kills.
Yeah, I dig that.
But other than that, it's like a mind game. It's like a mental mind fuck between these two characters trying to fuck each other over.
I like that, too. I just don't, you know, I like a movie to happen to me. So, I mean, it can be like that, too. I don't want to sit there and have to read. Like, I went to see, you know, that movie, Hidden Dragon, Couch and Tiger, or whatever that was.
Mm-hmm. Crouching Tiger, yeah. Hidden Dragon.
And it was all over.
All over. It's over. Because you got to read.
Yeah, what do you call that? I had to watch it twice because I was getting distracted by the action, you know, and I couldn't get the gist of the story.
Too. I found that hard to read and you get drawn into the action.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Hero, which I also recommend.
Yeah.
Hero with Jet Li.
I saw that one, too.
You have to read that fucking
thing. Yeah.
Well, on DVD, you think it would come out in English, right?
No.
They would have an English overdub?
Well, what I did is I read all the dialogue and I recorded myself. And then I played it back with me reading all the parts. See? That's how you do it.
Oh, is that how you do it? That doesn't take too long. Yeah.
Haro. Hero.
The last movie I saw was just today, John. Took the kids and I saw Kung Fu Panda.
Nice.
Kung Fu Panda.
Did you get a nap?
I did get a nap after the movie. Not during the movie, but after the movie. Went over to
That's
movie
why
co.
I always volunteer to take the kids to. I'll take them.
Went to the movie co over there.
Yeah.
And it's the first movie. My son is 4. It's the first one he sat all the way through at the movie theater.
Nice.
So that was nice. They both liked it. I thought it was okay. It wasn't a waste of time, like Don't Mess with the Zohan would be, I would assume.
Well, Jack Black is in it.
Yeah, Jack Black. He's good.
You
good
fucking
voice.
Shit!
Oh, Dustin Hoffman is
Does he say this in the movie?
Fucking cock-ass!
No, he doesn't say
no?
that.
You fucker! You fucking bitch!
Dustin Hoffman is the master, and Angelina Jolie is one of the characters.
Yeah.
You can't even tell it's her. Like, Dustin Hoffman, you can tell. Jack Black, you can tell. Even Judd Apatow, you can tell. Angelina Jolie, they might as well get the word whore to do it, and they don't have to pay her anything. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't even tell it was her. She has no, like, identifiable character to her voice. None.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
That's because nobody really knows her voice. They look at her lips and her boobs, and that's it.
No, did she say something? Ooh, I don't know.
I saw her lips moving. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Have you seen the previews for her new movie?
No.
Something about an assassin? Like these guys are...
No.
They have assassin genetically encoded into their DNA.
I heard about it.
It looks a little bit over the top, but it looks fucking kick-ass, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard about it. I didn't see any previews.
You got to go to YouTube, man. Check it out.
I know. You know, I haven't had time, man.
Right. No
I've been
time.
Fucking baseball games every day.
Baseball. We got some celebrity news, John. Celebrity news.
We do.
That's right. I don't know if you've heard this, but Tom Cruise, his lawyer, is hit back at a TV doctor who questioned the star's mental health. Did you hear about that?
No.
Calling Celebrity Rehab's Dr. Drew Pinsky unprofessional and unqualified.
Don't be ridiculous.
Pinsky, who is a regular on U.S. reality show, has written an article for Playboy magazine suggesting Cruise might be mentally ill.
Fuck you.
For getting involved with the Church of Scientology. The medical expert also claims the Top Gun star may have suffered some kind of childhood trauma. He writes, why would somebody be drawn into a cultish kind of environment like Scientology?
Dude, I got to interrupt you for a second.
To me, that's a function of a very deep emptiness and suggests serious neglect in childhood. Maybe some abuse, but mostly neglect. Why do you have to interrupt me?
I thought you were talking about Tom Hanks.
No, man. Tom Cruise. To Scientology. When did it dawn on you that I was talking about...
When you said Scientology, I'm like, what is he talking about?
Tom Cruise's attorney, Burt Fields, has slammed the article, insisting Pinsky's analysis is absurd. I think Scientology is absurd.
Yeah, come on.
This unqualified television performer who obviously just looking for notoriety is so grotesquely unprofessional as to pretend to diagnose Tom and others without ever meeting them. So Drew Pinsky has apologized since then. But Pinsky got it all wrong. It's not about the relationship with his parents. It's about his homosexuality. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
His alleged homosexuality.
Yeah.
Scientology came to him and they said, we can cure you of your homosexuality. He believes it. He's not cured, but he believes it. And so that's why he's a member of Scientology and a spokesman.
Yeah, I got a magazine upstairs. I forget what it's called. I don't know how. Are you getting any magazines you didn't subscribe to and they just show up?
No.
Like, I get, like, Modern Architect and...
nice. And it's addressed to you?
Yeah.
Is the correct spelling and everything?
And then I get something else. It's, like, some sort of urban magazine. You
might
know.
Want to talk to your son or daughter. Who knows? Maybe they called the
could
house.
Be. Urban... It's like an urban magazine, and there was a blurb in there about Tom Cruise, and they make this reference to, they don't say who he is, but what they're doing is they're comparing a bunch of, or rating comic book movies, and one of them, they're talking about the Katie Holmes character that's in the new Batman, and they say, yeah, it's not played by the one who's married to that actor who is gay, and I don't know, they just made all these great references. God damn it, I wish I would have brought it down here because it was pretty funny.
Well, this lawyer goes on to say, Tom Cruise's lawyer,
yeah,
about Drew Pinsky. He seems to be spewing the absurdity that all Scientologists are mentally ill. I don't think that's absurd at all. The last time we heard garbage like this was from Joseph Goebbels.
Oh, my.
And I don't know if you know this, but Scientologists blame psychiatry for crimes and even believe it was created by the Nazis.
Scientology was?
No. Scientologists.
Or crime.
Psychiatry.
Oh, psychiatry.
They believe that the Nazis created psychiatry.
Oh, yeah.
Cult leader L. Ron Hubbard even called psychiatrists murderers and said they destroy every great civilization to date.
Well, they've done some pretty fucked up shit, though.
If the Nazis created it, how does psychiatry destroy every great civilization to date? They got to get their shit together.
Yeah.
At least come out with a consistent fairy tale, you know?
Right. Like the Christians.
Right.
Yeah. Get it together.
The majority, I don't know if you know this, but according to L. Ron Hubbard, the majority of psychiatrists maim and kill their parents and, by record, in all history, have only worsened mental conditions. After all, that's what they seem to be paid to do by the government. Boy, that guy was so goddamn off the charts.
Yeah.
Insane.
He was, man.
He's more delusional than the W.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I guess.
He is Tom Cruise crazy.
He's Tom Cruise crazy, baby.
We got to do this song. Too. You'd flash your big white shiny smile. You'd buy expensive shoes, but you'd be the only man on earth. All right, let's do one more celebrity story and we'll take a break and then get into science. We got a lot of science news, John.
All right.
A lot of science news. I don't know if you heard this, but sultry actress Scarlett Johansson finds it amazing that Barack Obama has the time to answer her adoring emails. But he does. Often. with fan messages of his own.
Nice.
To the 23-year-old film star.
Ooh.
How does Barack Obama pull that off is what I want to know. Let's say Scarlett Johansson became a fan of our show.
Yeah.
Do you think our wives would let us email Scarlett Johansson? There's no way. How does he get away with it is what I want to know.
Maybe as a staffer. Maybe as
it's just a staffer? Maybe he has it's not even him?
No, maybe he has his staff email her. Get it? His staff.
Johansson, star of such big screen hits as Lost in Translation and The Nanny Diaries. Really? Was that a big screen hit, The Nanny
big
Diaries?
Big screen hits, guy.
Has campaigned tirelessly for Obama and did a turn in his celebrity-packed Yes We Can intranet music video.
Ooh.
My heart belongs to Barack, she gushed. I'm engaged to Barack Obama, she joked. The New York-born knockout told Politico.com she has swapped friendly emails with the Democratic presidential hopeful for months. I find that hard to believe. I really do. I mean, does Barack Obama have time to take his time out to email her and get back to her?
Barack?
I guess if it is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Would your wife let you email Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Really?
Why? Why wouldn't she?
I don't know. I think like, I would get shit for that.
She's like, you stupid fat ass. You'd never get her. Email all you want.
All right. So let's say you do. You email her. And then there's an article that comes out. And she says, my heart belongs to John. I'm engaged to John. Then do you get in trouble? You get in trouble then?
I don't know. Maybe.
Even she's...
I don't know, man.
Even she's confused, concerned about this. You'd imagine that someone like a senator who is constantly traveling and constantly on...
Senator.
How can he return these personal emails? But he does. And in his off time, I know he also calls people who have donated the minimum to thank them.
Oh, yes.
So there you have it.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Scarlett Johansson engaged to Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, I think so.
What does Ryan Reynolds think about this?
I don't know.
Barack email, personal stuff.
I don't know. What is it? It's innocent. Look, is he saying, oh.
Who knows what he's saying? I don't know what he's saying. Who knows what he's doing when he's...
They're adults.
Is he one-handed typing? You know what I'm saying, John?
Oh,
I don't know.
One-handed typing, then... And the other?
And that's not the... Is that the... I can argue both ways.
Anus.
Is that what I want my... I'm really struggling. Is that what I want my president to behave like?
Yeah, why not?
You know, well, on one hand, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's like, well, how do you have the time to do that? Don't you have other things to keep occupied with?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
Oh, it's not over yet. We're just taking a break, man. A break.
Should we? It's like a six-minute break, almost
that's cool.
Seven.
That's how long it takes for your tapper to pour a beer.
Oh. Yeah, you're over there. Well, it's taking so... Oh, it's a big cup.
It's a big cup.
It's not a freaking gas station.
Cup. It's a big cup.
Are we taking a break?
Of course we're taking a break. I'm ready. Are you ready?
All right. These tunes are...
We'll come back with science. Oh, you know, we got to come back with Hulkster. Celebrity news Hulkster.
Got Seasons in the Sun from Practice.
Uh-huh.
And Funky Town. And I hope it's not a fucked up Funky Town. I didn't listen to it
before
we put it
on. Who knows?
All right.
It's Practice. Come on.
Yeah, what the hell? Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Give us a break.
Yeah.
My trusted friend, we've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABC, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die, but all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring is in the air, little children everywhere, think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills we
Funky Town, and before that, Funky Seasons Town. In the Sun.
Yeah.
Do not
walk behind us.
Do not
walk behind us.
Fart in a general direction.
That is one big pile of shit.
No, fart. Not shit.
All right, turning to science. Oh, no. Before science news, we got to get to the Hulk.
The Hulk.
The Hulk, John. Not the movie, but Hulk Hogan. Now, what happened is Hulk Hogan has a wife. He has two kids. They're one's a teen, one's in her 20s, boy and a girl. World professional wrestler, Hulk Hogan. I first saw him in Rocky III. Thunderlips, Rocky III. I also met him at the airport one
Did
night
you?
At like 3 a.m. He was the biggest motherfucking guy I've ever seen. The guy's like 6'8 and just, you know, the steroids and all. Just a huge MF-er.
Huge.
So he gets a reality show. My wife was totally into the reality show.
And, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, very much so. Then his son, Nick... who can barely drive. He gets his kid these sports cars and all this shit. Nick goes out driving. I don't know if he was drunk or what the hell happened. Maybe he was just street racing. I can't remember the story. But he slams into a telephone pole or a tree or something. And the kid in the car, his friend, John, is in a coma. It's like he's never going to come out of this coma. If he does come out, he's going to be one of these vegetables, right?
Yeah.
So Nick is in prison right now. He's got something like an 8-month sentence. He's in prison. So about a couple of weeks ago, these phone calls got leaked from the prison of Hulk calling his son and the wife calling the son. Hulk and his wife are going through a divorce right now.
Yeah.
So the clips are...
So that they can't, when they get sued, they can't take the Hulk's money.
No, that's not it.
No?
No, he... they're going through a divorce because she wants to date a 19-year-old and Hulkster's dating like a 33-year-old.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and just, I think I have the clips in order. Let's just go down them one through. So the end clips will be Hulk on Larry King.
All right.
And it really gets disturbing when he starts talking on Larry King. And we're going to pull it all together and see where the Hulkster fucked up and where the whole family fucked up.
All right. All right.
Go ahead and let's start with the original clip. This is probably a jailhouse clip.
Yeah.
Jailhouse.
I don't know what type of person John was or what he did to get himself in this situation. I know he was pretty aggressive and used to yell at people and used to do stuff. But for some reason, man, God laid some heavy shit on that kid, man. I don't know what he was into.
John was a negative person.
He was what?
He was a negative person. Will you work on that reality deal?
Yep.
For me? Get that thing lined up so the minute I walk out of wherever I walk out of, it's there, boom.
Can you do it while you're on probation?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, you want to do it with Pink Snickers or you want to do it with someone else?
I want to do it where I'll make the most money.
Well, then you need to do it with me, Jason, and Eric.
Okay.
You know if I'm producing the show, I won't screw you. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
I'll get you everything. I'll make you an owner.
Yeah.
You own the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me get to work on that with Eric tonight. He's here, too.
Okay, cool.
So, dude, we can get that pulled off, dude.
Reality.
You guys, the new Nick. We call it the new Nick or something.
New Nick.
Or something. We'll have to come up with a good name. Think of a good name.
I'll be thinking of a good name.
How about I'm an asshole? How about that?
Yeah.
So this his best friend is in a coma. If he ever comes out of the coma, he's going to be a goddamn vegetable.
He's negative.
But, yeah, he's negative. He's the negative one.
Yeah.
And here, you get a glimpse into what the mindset is of the Hogan family.
Yeah, who cares about it? Anyway, let's get to my reality show.
Well, I don't know if you know, the beginning, Hulk said, God laid some heavy shit on this kid. So there's no accountability for his son.
No.
There's no accountability for him. It's God.
It's God.
It's God laid some heavy. What did this kid do to deserve being in a coma? His son, Nick, has nothing to do with it. It's God. So you're getting a glimpse into where we're going to end up here on Larry King. Now, I think the next clip is the wife calling the son in prison.
All right.
I'm just sitting there counting the minutes on my hands, fingers, you know, just trying to count.
I just feel so bad that you're there because, truthfully, Nick, you don't deserve to be there. And ultimately, John doesn't need to be where he is. But you know what? You guys were best friends. And Debbie didn't know you. Neither did Ed. They didn't know you. I knew John. I knew you. I knew Danny. You guys were at my house all the time. I knew you better than his own mother knew him. I knew him better than his own mother knew him. Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and anybody would agree. And she has no other recourse other than to be nasty and vindictive now. You know, because if she really knew you and she really knew the relationship between you and John and Danny, she'd be sad right now. She wouldn't be mad. You know, she'd be devastated like I am. She's not sad. She's just acting angry like she just wants the money. John never meant anything to her or Ed. It's just sad because I really appreciated you kids, and I miss John. I miss you too, and it's like, she's not suffering. I have the loss. She didn't give two shits. Anyway,
I'm sort of a sand pearl with you.
I know. I'm at the beach house all by myself. It's not the same.
Oh my God.
The water on the boat with you. I miss getting in the Escalade and going to Orlando.
I know. Baby, we're going to do all of that, okay? We're going to do everything, but
I wrote down,
we're not going to do it here in fucking Florida. That's for goddamn sure.
Fucking Bill O'Reilly sucks!
So she knows this kid better than the kid's own mom. And she's suffering loss, not the mom. The mom who has a son in a coma that ever gets out of the coma is going to be a vegetable. No, she doesn't have loss. Hulk Hogan's wife has loss.
Yeah.
Because her son's in prison and they can't be at the beach house together. Oy vey, John.
Oy vey. Listen to you. Oy vey.
I can't even remember. What did we get into the Hulk,
clips? 1, 2.
Okay, now we're getting into Larry King. This is Hulk on Larry King.
All right.
And I can't understand why Larry King still has a show. I mean, he's a guy meant for radio. I mean,
Skokie,
he's got the pipes.
Hello.
But he's so unattractive.
Those
he's
weird
one of the most
shoulders,
unattractive
man.
People on the planet.
He's like a skull with a suit.
Guy's been married like 10 times, but he has this show. And Hulk shows up on his show.
He's a cadaver with a suit on. And not a suit, but a shirt and tie with suspenders.
So let's hear Hulk on Larry King.
But they say the reason he was put in jail was to think about my son. The last thought on his mind is obvious. All he's thinking about is how he can make the most money. Their bitterness is not going away, Hulk. And you say you forgive that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You forgive them for they know not what they do. It's a situation of they're not conscious. They're not present. They don't understand that by creating more tragedy, it will not help John. We need to move forward. We need to work as hard as we can to help John, you know, recover, to keep praying, to establish some type of life plan for John, so that when John is back up and running with us, all we can do is focus positively on moving forward and helping John.
All right. John is not going to get back up. He's not going to be running.
Yeah.
No amount of prayer is going to get John out of a coma. Well, it might get him out of a coma, but he's going to be a vegetable. So what the hell is the Hulk talking about? I have no goddamn idea. And he forgives them. He forgives John's parents.
Yeah.
Because they don't know, like Hulk knows. Because Hulk knows.
Well, they want money.
Of course they want money.
Because they got to take care of this kid forever.
Right.
He's fucked up. And there's got to be some sort of accountability.
That's the key word. That is
driving.
The key word, John. Accountability.
Yeah.
But we'll find out in Hulk's view. There's no accountability on his end.
No, the Lord.
That's right.
Take care of everything.
There you go. Go ahead and play the next clip.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, said she's upset over you're dating one of her friends. Is that true?
It's not one of her friends. It's not one of her friends.
Is your wife dating a 19-year-old?
Well, first off, Larry, the girl that I'm dating is 34 years old. And it's not one of Brooke's friends. And from the reports I hear, my wife is dating a 19-year-old.
Does that upset you, or it's over and don't matter?
Larry, at this point, my only focus is on John and Nick. And emotionally, I'm not. Like I said, Linda has her own life and her own agenda. I am not part of it in any way, shape, or form. My only focus is on my children and on John.
Right. So talk about a completely fucked up family.
Yeah.
They're divorced. The wife is with a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Hulk's with a 33-year-old woman. That's okay, I guess. Yeah, he's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
But there is some disturbing video of him rubbing lotion on his daughter's ass.
Oh, have you seen that? No.
Oh,
man.
It's really disturbing.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it's sunscreen or what it is, but he's rubbing her ass, his own daughter, into like a thong. So, yeah, his family's completely falling apart. Completely.
Put two of them up your ass.
So go ahead and play this next clip here.
All right.
One could argue you're the most famous wrestler in the world. You can make a strong case for that. Are you shocked by all this? By the I'm talking about the publicity, the television, the whole attention in that area, the tabloidish element of this. If you would have told me a couple years ago, Larry, we'd be sitting here and this would have been how my life unfolded, I would have thought you were crazy. You know, I'm just grateful that the sheriff understands and has done the right thing. You know, even though his legal team had one opinion, the sheriff has given Nick some relief and he's being treated fairly now. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful, you know, that the people that I surround myself are positive. You know, Michael Beck with James Ray, that... it's been hard.
It's okay. I mean, this is the heart, isn't it?
Larry's telling him it's okay. It's going to be okay. You can cry like a big baby on my show. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, I think in these next clips we're going to start to get more of the foundation of their belief system, which I believe, and I'm going to make a case for, leads to this type of behavior. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. It's the main focus is my son, my children, and John Graziano. It's been a tough one, Larry. I mean, you know, it's you said to me during the break, this is the second part of the dance, so it's halftime, and we're positive, we're moving forward.
You believe in God?
Yes, I do.
So do you believe in a second act? Do you believe in forgiveness?
Well,
you believe that?
Well, it's like I said, this is in God's hands. Things happen for a reason. This is to make Nick a better person. This is, in my belief, this is to make John a better person. It's like I said before, you know, it's God's will where we're at with this situation. I refuse to accept any negativity, any naysayers, and I firmly believe there's a plan, you know, and it's God's plan and God's will. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, I mean, everybody has it in them. Some people don't bring it out. Certain situations like tragedies like this, certain situations like... different things in life bring it out, but some people become aware and they become present through their faith, and that is the spirit that my son and myself and my daughter are walking. We walk in the spirit of Christ, and we believe for a reason, you know, that things happen. And anything I've ever done, I've been an overzealous father. I apologize for. I never meant to hurt anyone, Larry. You know, I'm this constant, maybe overbearing to a fault. But, you know, I'm always trying to be the one to make the save or to help. And if that's what I'm guilty of, I'm guilty of that.
Oh, how convenient.
Oh,
how convenient that Hulk has no accountability here.
Yeah, it's going to make John a better person.
It's in God's hands.
It's in God's hands.
Yeah. Things happen not only to make John a better person, but Nick a better person. So God made Nick drive at over 100 miles an hour and wrap his car around a tree.
So he could be a better person.
So he could be a better person.
To do his reality show and make as much money as possible.
Right.
So while that Nick when John is, takes it all.
Basically brain dead. Oh, yeah. That's great.
As he pushes his wheelchair around with a straw. Yeah, that's good.
If he even gets to that point. Yeah, and it's all God's plan. It's God has a plan, John. I have nothing to do with this.
He's much better wheelchair driver now, thanks to Nick.
I have no accountability whatsoever.
No. God.
And he had another quote. I refuse to accept negativity. And what he's really saying is, I refuse to accept responsibility.
Yeah, right. Wow.
I refuse, because it's God's plan. And that, and you know, until I started listening to these clips and researching the story, that's another reason I just can't stand this belief system.
That sums it up, man. I mean, that does. That right there, those couple of clips sum up the whole fucked up mysticism belief system.
Right.
No accountability.
None.
God made me do it. It's part of his plan. Jeffrey Dahmer chopped people up and ate them because it's God's plan.
I'm just a puppet.
Yeah.
God is directing everything.
It's going to make us a better person.
Right. You need to go back to school to become a, you need to exchange ideas.
Yeah.
You need to get out of your dim-witted, unenlightened period here, Hulk.
Yeah.
You're a dope. A dope.
So Larry,
take some goddamn
Larry,
accountability.
Sir, you know, sir, Larry, I truly believe we walk in Jesus, not of all of us that's come out of us yet. But
yeah, there's
tragedy,
God in all of us.
When tragedy strikes, that's when we start playing the blame game. It's not my fault. It's not John's fault. He's going to be a better person. He's going to drive a better wheelchair. I'm confident when he puts a straw in his mouth, he's going to go fast. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nauseating.
Nick's going to ride in his lap. And
it's goddamn nauseating. And who's going to watch this stupid-ass reality show of Nick? Nick Hogan? Who the hell
Nick
is
the
Nick Hogan?
Dick. Nick Hogan.
The new Nick. I like your title better, Nick the Dick. Nick the Douche.
The new Nick the Dick.
The new Dick, Nick.
Rhymes with Dick.
We have one more clip. I think
Hi,
Hulk breaks
my
down
Dick.
In this last clip. Is there one more?
Are you going to make appearances? Are you going
to? I'm trying to get back to work, get back on track. The most overwhelming thing, Larry, is even with this irresponsible media, this tabloid terrorism, as I call it, and every shot they've taken of me and my family, when I walk out this door, the public knows the type of person I am. They know the type of person my son is. My son's a good child. My daughter's a good person. And the support from the public that's out there, and they know our focus is on John. And they know this was an accident. And at the end of the day, Larry, the support and the people... The people that are outside of this building, they're with us on the same Larry, so it's going to be okay.
Oh, my God.
Irresponsible media, John.
Yeah, they're the ones that caused all this.
Not irresponsible parenting because it was God's plan. Isn't it? Well, if that's the case, isn't it God's plan that the media has to behave that way? Isn't that another test of your
there
faith?
There you go.
So how dare you call them irresponsible? That's a part of God's plan as well, isn't it?
No,
see, this guy's not well thought out.
No.
Of course not.
Well, neither is Larry King because he doesn't challenge him on well,
nothing.
Yeah, you say that it's God's plan, but if it is God's plan, isn't the media part of that plan?
Well, I understand
why.
I understand why Larry King wouldn't challenge him because if he did, he's not going to get any guests. Guests aren't going to show up.
Right.
If they're going to be challenged
like
that.
Right.
So I'm not going to fault Larry. I mean, Larry is God's plan, if you ask me.
You cocksucker!
But isn't that it's just so goddamn disturbing to me. This no, I have no accountability. It's God's plan.
It's nauseating.
I'm just gonna pray. Yeah, that's gonna work. That's gonna
nauseating.
It is nauseating. All right, let's turn to science news. Goddamn Hulk. I only mentioned this very brief story. It just came out, so of course in science, it has to go before peer review, and people have to exchange ideas. But we mentioned this a couple podcasts ago, about the origin of life.
Yeah.
Get this, John, this is out of the UK. Last week, we had a story about the UK scientists just figuring out that alcohol greases the wheels of foreplay. But here, the UK scientists are actually doing some work here. Scientists from the Imperial College of London claim to have found evidence that life on our planet did not originate from Earth itself. For the first time, the scientists say it is confirmed that an important component of early genetic material found in a meteorite is of extraterrestrial origin.
I did read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll go back and forth and it'll be either validated or they'll keep working on it, but... yeah, life came from somewhere else.
Uh-oh.
But it had to originate somewhere else originally, right?
Well, sure, yeah.
But maybe not here, on this planet. But if the universe has been around for 14 billion years, the Earth has been around for 5 billion years?
Well, there's like the meteorite has a composition of amino acids, so which are the building blocks of life, which are right included in all DNA. So it could be that this planet just happened to have all the right mixture for that meteorite when it hit to set the natural selection in motion. Right?
Yeah, something like that. Why not? Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Can I just repeat what you said?
Well, if this turns out to be validated, then my theory of convergent evolution will win a Nobel Prize, John. It's based on this.
Here we go again.
It's based.
You haven't written a fucking word on any of your theses.
It's based on the concept that life originated earlier in the universe and was then sent here to Earth. That's how I can explain convergent. I don't even know if that's the right term. Evolution.
I bet you've penned more of your acceptance speech.
In other words, why did marsupials form in Australia, like with the kangaroo, but also on other continents? For example, the tiger. There's a tiger that was a marsupial.
Wow.
Right. Now, I'll tell you how that happened. But it's based on life going through the process of evolution in other galaxies and then making its way here first. Later, I mean.
Wow.
There you have it. I'd explain the whole thing, but I don't want people to steal my ideas. You know,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I have to vet it, write it up, get it published. That's PhD stuff there, John.
No doubt.
Right on. All right, in our other science news, John, other science news. Professor Richard Lynn, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Ulster University, said many more members of the intellectual elite considered themselves atheists than the national average.
Ah.
A decline in religious observance over the last century was directly linked to a rise in average intelligence, he claimed. But the conclusion, in a paper for the academic journal Intelligence, has been branded simplistic by critics. So how about that, huh?
Yeah. No doubt, man. We're brights.
The survey of Royal Society fellows found that only 3.3% believed in God at a time when 68.5% of the general UK population described themselves as believers. A separate poll in the 90s found only 7% of members of the American National Academy of Sciences believed in God.
Wow.
So, let's see. What do they say here? They say that he said religious belief had declined across 137 developed nations in the 20th century at the same time as people became more intelligent. Number one, just because these people are scientists doesn't necessarily mean they have higher IQs. As a study concluded that, it's not referenced. This is my criticism of the article.
Yeah.
Number two, and I think it's not related to intelligence. I think it's an exposure to science and the scientific method, which is relatively new. If you talk about Galileo, we're only talking about 400 years ago.
Right.
So my
facts and what are the conclusions?
Right, in the evolution of a scientific theory. So my hypothesis is it's not based on intelligence. It's based on exposure to the science and scientific method. That's what it's based on. Because this is a form of education or a system that requires people to ask questions. It requires you to inquire.
Right. And actually, it simplifies everything.
Right.
Because you tear it down to the bare bones as opposed to coming up with another extravagant miracle or mystical reason why something's happening.
Like last week when we had technical difficulties, we were trying to figure it out. How easy was it to say it's God? It's God.
Right.
Don't look into it anymore. It's God. It must be God fucking with us.
Yeah.
So,
but that complicates it even more because then we can't find out what the problem is.
Well, we just cross our fingers and hope for the best. And then if the problem never occurs again, then we are it's confirmed
it's
that it must
vindicated,
have been God.
Yeah.
And that's how our belief system is developed. But so I need to get into contact with this guy who wrote this article and say it's not intelligence overall. It's the scientific method and the inquiry that the scientific method makes you consider. That is what leads people to forego the fairy tales.
But isn't intellect linked to inquiry?
It is linked to inquiry, but like I know guys who did really well on in high school and on testing that have no intuition. They have no inquiry skills. They have no observation skills. Their intelligence is based on memorizing facts and being able to spit that shit out on tests. And so who knows how they're measuring intelligence? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't?
Well, I thought intelligence was more about how you solve things, you know.
Well, that's your
as opposed to just having memory and memorizing.
Right.
Like, for instance, these kids today, they have to do this No Child Left Behind math. You know, it's like they have to do so many problems in 5 minutes. Like 100 or something in 3 minutes, I think it is.
Okay.
And I noticed my daughter, who is a is, you know, shooting up there with the academics, and she has the ability to reason on certain things and other things. She's a drama queen. But anyway, I noticed she was struggling with the math because she was actually trying to work out each problem as opposed to the other kids who just memorized them, and they gave them in the exact order that the problems were. So they memorized them, and they were able to zip right through them. You see right. what I'm saying?
So
wow, this kid's a star, you know?
But it's not. In the long run, he's not.
He's not, no.
But so who knows what they're what they define, it wasn't in the article, what they define as overall intelligence.
Oh, I see. Somebody else's definition of what...
Right.
Intelligence.
So for me, that the intelligence
that
science provides, where it is a constant exchange of ideas, revising, inquiring, that kind of thing leads. I think Ben Stein is right. If you follow Darwin down this path, you're going to start questioning religion. I'll give him that. I'll give Ben Stein that.
I'll give him that.
So that's, in my opinion, what really provides a move away from spirituality and religion. Not overall intelligence, because I don't know how they define overall intelligence. Who knows what that is? But when you talk about overall intelligence, you're talking about memorization. That's a big component. You're talking about a belief system. You're talking about emotional intelligence, social intelligence. I mean, there's so many different variables. You know what I'm saying there, John?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a great science story. You know, we had the greatest one so far was that we all came from black people, that white people are a mutation.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. So that happened thousands of years ago, right? The first white person. But let's say that mutation happened again in today's society. So let's say you got Wesley Snipes, a very black man, very, very black. And let's say, hypothetically, he marries a very, very black woman, like a Wesley Snipes. And they have this genetic mutation where they have a white baby. That's going to cause some friction, I would think, in the relationship. Because they would be like, what the fuck is this? Wesley Snipes would be...
Who you been banging?
That's not my kid. Of course, they'd go through the DNA because he's a big celebrity and
but
all.
But that happens.
Yeah, but
there's black people that are their skin is turning white and they're actually putting makeup on because and they're born. Some of them are born that way. It's some sort of melanoma thing going on.
Is it? Is it a genetic mutation?
Well,
I guess here's my question. If the genetic mutation happened once, why can't it happen again? And if it will happen again, why don't we know about it is what I want to know. Two black people giving birth to a white baby. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, why haven't we been exposed to it?
Ah.
Because if it did happen once, why wouldn't it happen again? That's all I'm asking.
Maybe it has.
But we don't know about it?
It's just not a big deal.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
All right, so then that's the number one story. We all came
What's
from black people.
What's your fucking point?
The number two story was just last week about our brain processing the future, the hypothetical future, and the probabilities of the future, which one is the most probable. You remember that story, John?
The future.
Yeah, the future. The future. And now we got the third greatest science story since we've been doing the podcast. John, are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready. Hold on. Okay. Drum roll, please.
If there is one thing that has always seemed obvious about homosexuality, it's that it doesn't. Is that it just doesn't seem to make sense. Evolution favors traits that aid reproduction, and being gay clearly does not do that. The existence of homosexuality amounts to a profound evolutionary mystery. Since failing to pass on our genes means that your genetic fitness is a resounding zero, homosexuality is effectively like sterilization, says psychologist Kwasi Raman of Queen Mary College in London. You'd think evolution would get rid of it, yet as far as historians can tell, homosexuality has always been with us. So the question remains, if it is such a disadvantage in the evolutionary rat race, why was it not selected into oblivion a millennia ago? Huh?
So is Down syndrome. It's been with us for forever.
Right.
What the fuck kind of retarded ass story is that?
That's just the opening, John. That is just the opening.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to give you the answer. That was the question.
Yeah.
Here's the answer. 20th century psychiatry has an answer for the Darwinian paradox. Homosexuality was not a biological trait at all, but a psychological defect. It was a mistake, one that had always been created anew in each generation by bad parenting. Now, this is this is the old thought. This is how they used to think.
Old school.
Freud considered homosexuality a form of arrested development stamped on a child by a distant father or an overprotective mother. Homosexuality was even listed by the American Psychiatric Association as a mental disorder. The idea that gays could be be cured was widely accepted. And I think it still is. That's what Tom Cruise believes. But modern scientific research has not been kind to that idea. It turns out that parents of gay men are no better or worse than those of heterosexuals. And homosexuals' behavior is common in the animal kingdom as well among sheep, for instance. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It arises naturally and does not seem to be a matter of aloof rams or overbearing ewes. The consensus now is that people are born gay, is the title of a recent book by Raman and a British psychologist, Glenn Wilson, puts it. But for decades, researchers have sought to identify the mechanism that makes a person gay.
We should redo that song, Born Free.
Born Free.
Born gay.
As gay as
the wind
Tom Cruise blows. Something seems to flip the sexuality switch before birth, but what? In many cases, homosexuality appears to be genetic. But nobody has identified a particular gay gene. But if the gene does prove to be a gay gene, it's unlikely that there would be only one, John. Brain structures are responsible for sexual orientation must emerge from a complex chain of molecular events. One that can be disrupted by many links. Gay genes could be genes for hormones, enzymes that modify hormones, or receptors on the surface of brain cells that bind to those hormones. More likely, it will take mutations in more than one gene. So get this, John. Here is the gist of the whole story and of the homos. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Hit me.
Gay genes might survive because so long as a man doesn't have enough of them to make him gay, they increase the reproductive success of the woman he mates with. You got that?
Right. More gay genes makes more gay people.
No. What it's saying is, let's say it takes 30 gay genes to make you gay.
Yeah.
But if you only have 24 of those genes, it makes you much more attractive to women.
Ah, I see.
But then when they load the six other genes, then you're, you know.
Yeah.
Then you're not attracted to women. You're gay. Biologists call
you're not attracted or you're not attractive to?
Well, you're attractive to women because women still, you know, they're attracted to gay men, but you're not attracted to women.
Right.
Biologists call it sexually agnostic selection, meaning a trait survives in one sex only because it is useful to the other. Nipples. Useless to men, vital to women are one example, and homosexuality may be another. By interfering with the masculinity of the brain, gay genes might promote feminine behavior traits, making men who carry them kinder, gentler, and more nurturing, less aggressive, and psychopathic than the typical male, as Rahman and Wilson put it. Such men may be more likely to help raise children rather than kill them or each other.
Or eat them.
As a result, women may be more likely to choose them as mates. In this way, over thousands of generations of sexual selection, feminizing genes may have spread through the male population. When the number of such genes exceeds a certain threshold in men, a tipping point, if you will, John.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
They may flip the switch and make him want to have sex with other men. Evolutionary speaking, that is bad for him. But for the women who are doing the selecting, the loss of a small number of potential mates may be a small price to pay for creating a much larger number of kind of men that they want. That is out of sight, John.
Yeah.
So I am very nurturing. I'll tell you that right now.
No doubt.
Kind, I'm gentle,
no doubt,
and I am nurturing. I am just a couple of genes removed.
Yeah, you are.
From being a flaming homosexual.
Yeah, you're on your way to faggot school.
Not quite. Not quite.
Faggot school get the day off today.
So I am firmly behind this theory.
You
right
are
here.
Behind it, all right.
I am firmly.
I got audio of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
First, I find out that I used to be black, and now I find out that a couple of more genes, and I could be
gay.
A black homosexual. Yeah.
Black. You got the length on the arms.
I do. Yeah, no doubt.
It's simian kind of.
So that is now my third favorite science story of TTN history.
Nice.
Because I am kind, gentle, and nurturing.
Yeah. Right.
And I do have nipples, which are useless to me.
Useless.
How do you feel about that, John? How far are you removed from being a queer?
I'm pretty far removed, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not kind, gentle, and nurturing?
Not at all? I'm the typical, I'm not probably the typical quasi-male, because I'm not totally into, I don't know. Being into sports is kind of gay, too. You know, watching all that men getting all sweated up and slapping each other on the ass. I mean, you were getting really heated up over watching the basketball game today.
I don't get heated up over basketball games.
Ooh, come on, Kobe. Oh.
No, that's not true. That's not what I said at all. I said that the Lakers got crushed in game four. Kobe is no Jordan. The Lakers are up by six right now on their home court. And if Kobe withers and doesn't do anything, he's not going to be in the same league as a Jordan. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
He needs to turn around right now.
I'm a slob. I like to have 14 remotes, you know, watch TV, just flip through the channels. I'm the caveman. I'm a caveman.
You're the caveman.
Yeah.
So one could argue that though I am closer to a homosexual than you, I am more evolutionarily advanced. Or one could argue that...
or you're closer to faggot school than you ever wanted to be.
Yeah, whatever. All right, last science story, John. Both you and I have been diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Yeah.
This is an obstructive sleep apnea. Yeah. Occurs when the muscles in the throat, the soft palate, and the tongue relax during sleep and sag, narrowing the airway. The tongue slides into the back of the mouth.
That sounds homoerotic.
Blocking the windpipe and cutting off oxygen to the lungs. The sleeper wakes up, gasping for air,
and falls back into a fitful sleep. The cycle can repeat itself hundreds of times per night. So we both have sleep apnea. And this study just came out. The results of this study just came out. For the first time, UCLA researchers have discovered that people with sleep apnea show tissue loss in brain regions that help store memory.
Huh?
Reported on June 27th. The findings emphasize the importance of early detection of the disorder, which afflicts an estimated 20 million Americans.
Wow.
So, yeah, my memory
is... It's like 10%, man.
My memory is for total shit.
Yeah, mine too.
And now I have a reason.
It's coming back,
because you got the CPAP.
The CPAP. That thing is fucking unbelievable, man. I have never slept so good since I was a kid.
I'm going to have to get one.
Yeah, you're a back sleeper, man. And I've heard you like... What the fuck did he just swallow? I've seen you, man. You pull the covers up to your nose, and then you pull your stocking cap over your eyes.
Right.
And then enough room just for your nose. And you sleep like a fucking mummy.
Mummy.
How could you sleep like that?
I love it. Too bad we don't have audio of that.
Well, we played Cousin Dan snoring before. Remember that?
I remember that.
That guy's going to need the fucking machine pretty soon.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, John.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, turning to politics. Did you have any science stories?
No.
No? Science?
I do.
Stories?
Science stories? I do.
What do you got?
That's kind of a science story. Marijuana potency rises, Scott. Did you know that?
I did not.
The THC,
yeah, right?
Potency increased last year to the highest level in more than 30 years, posing greater health risks to people who may view the drug as harmless, according to a report released Thursday by the White House.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that's got to be right.
Last week we read a story by the White House that it makes you insane, pot.
The latest analysis from the University of Mississippi's Potency Monitoring Project tracked the average amount of THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, in samples sized by law enforcement agencies from 1975 to 2007. It found that the average amount of THC reached 9.6% in 2007, compared with 8.75% the previous year. The 9.6% level represents more than a doubling of marijuana potency since 1983, when it averaged just under 4.
So, do they have a reason for this? A theory for why it's increasing? No,
usually it's the crossbreeding. You know, they do these cross-pollinate, you know, with a stronger strain of marijuana, and they just cross-pollinate it until they come up with a... It's like how they made bananas and corn and all that
bananas
shit.
Bananas and wheat.
Yeah.
Norman Borlaug.
Right.
So who's the Norman Borlaug of pot?
I don't know. That's a good point. But anyways, a report from the office last month found that a teenager who has been depressed in the past year was more than twice as likely to have used marijuana than teenagers who have not reported being depressed. 25% compared with 12%. The study said marijuana use increased the risk of developing mental disorders by 40%.
Again, this is...
The White House.
You expect bad science from the White House.
Yeah.
Their cause and effect is fucked up. How do they know that people who are originally depressed don't search out marijuana?
Yeah.
They're attributing depression to marijuana.
Right.
When we don't know that they may have been depressed before that, and then they sought out... something to relieve their depression and found it in marijuana. Goddamn government. They're so goddamn dumb. You know why? Because Bush hired everybody from Liberty University or Pat Roberts or Oral Roberts, whatever the hell.
It says while the drug's potency may be rising, marijuana users generally adjust to the level of potency and smoke it accordingly, said Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who teaches psychology at the University of New York in Albany. It serves as an advisor for marijuana advocacy groups. Stronger cannabis leads to less inhaled smoke, he said. And he goes on because they talk about
it being linked to addiction and mental impairment and all this shit. This fucking whack job from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. This guy says, Elderwine says, but there's no data showing that a higher potency in marijuana leads to more addiction. Earlywine said, just like you said, Scott, there's no cause and effect data. And marijuana's withdrawal symptoms are mild at best. Mild irritability, craving for marijuana, and decreased appetite. I mean, those are laughable when you talk about withdrawal from a drug. Caffeine is worse.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did they interview the W for that study? No. Why don't they interview him? They I'm should. Sure he's done pot. And he's done coke for 20 years. Why don't they talk about that?
Anyway, this next story here leads a little bit into politics.
It's a segue. But it's segue, just funny. John.
Yeah.
They call it a segue.
In July, the Dutch government will introduce a nationwide smoking ban in bars, cafes, and restaurants aimed at protecting workers. But it will also make life a lot harder for the country's infamous coffee shops, where customers will only be allowed to smoke pure cannabis.
Nice.
So
that's a benefit.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. You can't smoke cigarettes, but you can smoke all the pot you want.
That's out of sight. Well, that doesn't harm you, right? I mean, if you get secondhand smoke from pot, it must not be as harmful as nicotine.
I guess not.
Nice.
And the way they do it there... is they roll the weed with tobacco smoke.
Well, they used to. They're going to have to change,
used to.
Right?
Now you got to smoke the weed.
Nice.
Anyways, there's nothing more really to say about that other than everybody's up in arms and how stupid it is and how you're going to be sure that the guy who's smoking a joint, it isn't also tobacco in there. How are you going to prove it?
Yeah, if I'm a coffee shop in Amsterdam, I'm trying to get a outdoor area, like a beer garden area.
Well, they
and
have
I'm gonna be the most popular
they,
one.
They have something like that. They're saying there'll be like places that you can cordon off as long as it doesn't disturb the workers.
The workers.
Yeah.
Get a different job. Go in a different line of work. How dare they?
And I forgot to talk about this when we were in our God segment, but a Zion man now officially named in God We Trust.
Oh, he changed his name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. The Zion artist people used to know as Steve Krusher is now legally in God We Trust. The 57-year-old artist and bus driver was ecstatic about the name change as he exited court Friday. I feel great. It's just like, yes, we trust. We trust, said.
It's impossible to read.
We trust, said.
I feel great. It's just like, yes, we trust, said.
So that's his last name, We Trust?
Yeah, his first name is In God.
Nice.
The entire process before Judge David Hall took less than 2 minutes. But We Trust said he was quite nervous. I've been praying for this. I didn't want anything to mess this up, he said. We Trust said the new name more closely represents his devotion to God than Steve Krusher did.
Krusher.
The process to change his name took roughly 3 months. Throughout the course, We Trust said he was looking for a sign from God that would let him know.
Did he get it?
It was a good idea.
Did he get it?
He got it one day while adding up the expenses for the name change, which came out to roughly $600.
Not 666?
No.
Wait a minute. How is it coming out to $600, a message from God?
I don't know. I didn't want to use my own money because things are tight, said the father of four. 3 weeks later, I got my tax rebate check for $600.
Oh, exactly what it cost to change his name.
See,
God does have a plan, John.
Changing his name is something so out of the ordinary. It's bound to get mixed reactions from people, especially because of the religious overtones, he said. I'm not out to offend anybody. People can call me something different, We Trust said. We Trust must now go about changing his name on all legal documents. Early next week, he'll visit the Social Security office in Waukegan and then the Secretary of State's office and his bank. He's already begun signing his artwork with his new moniker.
a move that may add value to his work. There are billions of artists out there. If you don't do something to stand out in the crowd, the world won't recognize you, We Trust said.
Okay, so that's why he did it, to stand out in the crowd.
Yeah. Lake County judge granted permission to Zion Man Friday.
Mr. We Trust.
Yeah, In God We Trust. That's In God as a first name and We Trust as a last name. That's out of sight.
We should talk to Phil about that. Maybe he could change his name. He's never been happy with his name. Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Phil McCracken and Trust We God. What? What?
Phil McCracken with God.
Phil McCracken with God. That's
what?
Great.
What?
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 Huh?
Oh, boy.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
All right, John. Last week we had a story about the Trinidad area in Washington, D.C. The police state has begun.
Oh, yeah.
But get this. So what they did is they set up checkpoints. So it's just like Nazi Germany. You had to, if you were driving into the area, you had to give them a reason. And I don't know how
Are you coming through here?
I don't know what qualifies as a good reason to get into the neighborhood and what got rejected. But after 1 week...
Where are your papers?
Police in Washington, D.C. have abandoned checkpoints it established in an unsafe neighborhood after a night of violence saw 8 shootings elsewhere in the city.
Oh, Jesus.
The checkpoints were criticized by civil libertarians as police state tactics more appropriate for Baghdad or Soviet area East Berlin than the nation's capital. Local authorities offered few specifics as to why they decided on Thursday to stop checking identification for every person driving into a neighborhood. But they claimed the mission was a success because there were no shootings in that neighborhood known as Trinidad during the 6 days the checkpoints were in place. But on Wednesday night, 8 people, including an 11-year-old girl, were shot elsewhere in the city. It'll be good to know, John, that none of them died. But so while they're manning these checkpoints, like you said last week, John, I'm a cop. I want to do my job. I don't want to stand here and check and ask people questions. Get me out on the street doing my job. But no, they had them tied up doing this. 8 people got shot elsewhere.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you could prevent that or not. But
no. If you had your own gun.
Maybe.
Shoot out in the streets.
Also, a poll. This is earlier in the week. I took a poll.
You did?
On MSN.
Right up your ass? Right up your MSN.
The question was, do you believe President Bush's actions justify impeachment? There were 600, at the time, there were over 600,000 responses. How many percentage do you think said yes, John? How many percent out of 600,000 believe that the W should be impeached? This online
how many
poll.
They think?
How many people think, percentage-wise? 70. 89%.
89.
4% said no. Like any other president, he's made a few missteps, but nothing approaching high crimes and misdemeanors. 5% said no, the man has done absolutely nothing wrong. Impeachment would just be a political lynching. And 2% said, I don't know. So almost 9 out of 10 people want this MF-er impeached. And we tried to call Nancy Pelosi earlier today to let her know to get her ass off the couch and let's go with Kucinich. Kucinich. It's a goddamn joke.
Don't you monkey with... Speaking of Bush, I got some Bushisms. One from yesterday.
Just yesterday you said this?
Well, no. It's from my calendar.
Oh, your calendar. So yesterday in 2005 or something.
Yesterday there was 220 days left.
Nice.
Today there's 219. Yesterday.
Well, that's if he doesn't attack Iran and call the elections off.
But it's hilarious. There's a Bushism a day for a whole year. Is that out of sight?
It's not surprising. As long as this guy opens his mouth.
He said, actually, this may sound a little West Texan to you, but I like it. When I'm talking about myself and when he's talking about myself, all of us are talking about me.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. And then that's yesterday. Today's, I know the human being and the fish can coexist peacefully.
I remember that. I remember when he said
left.
That.
And this is one that's off of my poster. It's my honor to speak to you as the leader of your country. And the great thing about America is you don't even have to listen unless you want to. What a fucking genius.
I don't know if you know this, John, but the W has enlisted British Special Forces in a final attempt to capture Osama bin Laden before he leaves the White House.
Oh, great.
Defense and intelligence sources in Washington and London confirmed that a renewed hunt... A renewed hunt was on for the leader of the September 11th attacks. If he, the W, can say he has killed Saddam Hussein and captured bin Laden.
Is that the guy's name, Renewed Hunt?
He can claim to have left the world a safer place, said a U.S. intelligence source. Yeah. It's over, W. It's over. You didn't leave it safer. It's worse. The economy blows. You're going to go down in history as the worst president ever. In the you're going to go down as the worst human beings ever in the history of the world. You dope.
You're really a loser.
That's right, Rocky.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
I don't know if you've heard this, John. Get this. The Supreme Court will allow Gitmo prisoners to challenge their detention.
Yeah.
Habeas corpus has been restored. The W gets the smackdown.
Yeah.
So the W is the one who stripped habeas corpus from Gitmo. And we asked ourselves, well, when is he going to strip it from us? You know?
Yeah.
American citizens.
Right.
But the Supreme Court finally came back and said, hey, you're not above the law, W. They get due process over in Gitmo. Now, the four dissenting Supreme Court justices are all Republican-appointed Catholics who ignored their faith and established church doctrine.
Doctrine.
Scalia being the most prominent one. You know what Scalia says?
No.
Scalia?
Scalia. Scalia.
Court's decision restoring habeas corpus, quote, will almost certainly cause more Americans to be killed. That's where he's at.
Oh, that's genius.
Scalia.
That's some cause
Isn't that
and
genius?
Effect.
Yeah, that's genius, Scalia. Genius. Isn't it great to know that one of these imbeciles that I think Reagan appointed him, but he's on the Supreme Court.
How about the fact that the W is in office? Doesn't that count as more people are going to get killed?
Right.
More soldiers?
Yeah, how about that?
How about Scalia? Because you're an appointed cocksucker, more people are going to die.
Scalia is outraged, John. In his dissenting opinion, he devoted an entire section to a description of the disastrous consequences of what the court has done. A procedure contrary to my usual practice, he admitted. Scalia adopted extreme rhetoric about the impacts of the decision, calling it self-invited incursion into military affairs that would almost certainly kill Americans. He said, America is at war with radical Islamists. Our armed forces are now in the field against the enemy in Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay, duh. That's a fact, right? The game of bait and switch that today's opinion polls play upon the nation's commander-in-chief will make the war harder on us. It will almost certainly cause more Americans to be killed. What a joke. Today, the court warps our Constitution, he said. The nation will live to regret what the court has done today. I think one of the founding principles of this country, and of a lot of countries, I mean, this concept of habeas corpus has been around for 1,000 fucking years. Show me the body, John.
Yeah.
Due process.
Right.
You just can't, the assumption here that Scalia and everybody else is making.
Well, Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, vowed Thursday to do everything in his power to overturn the Supreme Court's decision on Guantanamo Bay.
Gitmo, John. Gitmo.
Yeah, saying that if necessary, he would push for a constitutional amendment to modify the decision.
Oh, what a dick.
Graham blasted the decision as irresponsible and outrageous, echoing the sentiments of many congressional Republicans and President Bush.
It goes back to the police state, Washington, D.C. They're making cops do the checkpoints. It goes back to I'm too lazy to do the actual work, to gather the actual intelligence.
Let me just grab whoever the fuck I want and not charge them until they tell me something
I
want to know.
The problem is that the enemy combatant is so fucking loosely
defined.
There's no definition.
Right. It could be you and
me. And that's why they're saying, okay, if you want to get rid of habeas corpus, you better come up with a way better definition than enemy combatant. Because anybody, anything could be an enemy combatant.
Right. You and I can fall under that category.
For example,
we're having dissenting opinions about the current government.
Rush Limbaugh made some comment about enemy combatant. The fact is, we should not take any prisoners. If it's an enemy combatant, they should be dead. Okay, if that's... And some guy said, well, what do you mean? That's kind of rough. He goes, hey, we're at war. This is a war on terror. Well, remember, there's also a war on drugs. So shouldn't you have been fucking shot down for illegally consuming massive quantities of Oxycontin?
What did Limbaugh have to say about that?
About what?
What did Limbaugh have to say about that?
I didn't say that to him. Just some caller. He said that there's a war on terror. So it's a war. So therefore, they're enemy combatants. Well, wouldn't it be fair to say that if it's because there is a war and there's a war on drugs and you illegally consumed massive amounts of Oxycontin to the point where you were fucking deafened by them, that you are also an enemy combatant, sir? That's right.
Right on.
Anyway, Patrick Leahy, judiciary, Patrick Leahy, chairman of the Judiciary Committee. What he said about this, he said, there is nothing more fundamental than the right of habeas corpus. In three separate decisions, the Supreme Court in recent years has rejected this administration's erosion of fundamental rights. These protections set the United States apart from those who wish to do us harm. This decision echoes earlier court opinions that have solidified our constitutional system of checks and balances. The administration has rolled back essential rights that have long guided our nation's conscience.
Conscience. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's all this fear. We're too afraid to give them due process.
Well, here's the thing,
Scott. If you
got
the evidence, give the evidence. If you don't have the evidence, let the motherfucker go.
And Leahy goes on to say, every member of the Congress has approved the Military Commissions Act and the Detainee Treatment Act, now correctly reversed by the court, will have the moral stain of having been a party to its besmirching their careers and their legacies forever. To it besmirching, sorry.
They're, to it.
Yeah, not is.
I have no idea what you just said. But get this, John. Let me ask you this. Who said this about the decision? One of the worst decisions in the history of this country. Who said that?
Straight Talk Express.
That's right. John McCain said that, John.
I'm starting to talk like the W, and I'm a Straight Talk Express.
And I giggle too long.
You cocksucker, motherfucker!
The presumptive GOP nominee said the decision of 5-4 ruling Thursday that determined Gitmo detainees have the right to seek release in civil courts would lead to a wave of frivolous challenges. Yeah, frivolous. How about my freedom? I've been here for 5 years. You haven't charged me.
Yeah.
At least charge me. Know what I'm charged for. Yeah, and we're supposed to be the standard, the world standard. Yeah. That's enough right there not to vote for McCain.
It's unbelievable.
Dope.
So, you know, he's saying it was okay how they imprisoned him. He was an enemy combatant. They could torture him. They could do whatever they want.
I guess, you know,
so what are you fucking
point.
Crying about, you whack job?
That's an excellent point, John. Yeah, then it goes for them too. They had every right to detain him.
Oh no, not
for 5 years.
Not, that's different.
And not do a
Scott.
Goddamn thing about it. He's gonna hate the gooks till he dies because of that.
What's your fucking point?
According to McCain, habeas corpus is a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege, John. Does that guy know anything about American
history?
Oh my God!
It's a privilege. What a dickhead! What a stupid fucking dickhead.
Also, John McCain news. Yesterday, John McCain canceled his attendance at a fundraiser
with Clayton Williams, who gave the following advice to rape victims. As long as it's inevitable, you might as well lie back and enjoy it.
Oh, my. I heard about that.
McCain's
what a
campaign
dick.
Cited that remark as a reason for his cancellation. But guess
oh,
what,
why?
John? He didn't go to the fundraiser,
but he's
still
taking the money, I bet.
Took the $300,000. Yeah. And he's going to keep it all.
I'm Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk Express. Yeah, I'm not going to go to the fundraiser, you know, because you said that shit about, you know, rape victims and shit. But I'm still going to take your $300,000.
What a doofus.
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that this guy has a chance to become a president. It's unbelievable to me, John. All right. Next week, we'll give you the top 10 McCain outbursts.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, this guy's a live
it's
wire,
a loon.
John. He's a loose cannon. He's a loon. He's a loony tune. All right, let me get the door. Let this cocksucker in. Lakers up by 9 with
nice.
8 minutes to go. Fourth quarter. Give that quick news update, sports news update while Phil gets ready.
All right.
And I don't have anything else, so whenever you're ready to turn it over to Phil.
All right, Phil. You got your cans on?
Did we play all the clips?
All but the There Will Be Blood.
There will. Oh, yeah. I forgot to play that one during the. Yeah, so we can forget that one. Nah, you can turn it off. Don't play it. I forgot to go to that one when I was talking about
Don't
the movie.
Play. Don't play.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Scott.
It's good to be back.
With your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken-Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Your first story tonight.
What award did you win?
It's award-winning, my news, award-winning news broadcast. I win awards. Our first story tonight.
Scientists discover monkeys in Indonesia that fish.
And also work in the White House.
In related news, Dennis Kucinich introduces 35 articles of impeachment against a chimp at the Oval Office. Next story, John. Man falls off sofa while laughing. Downstairs neighbor thought he collapsed and called police. Police pepper spray him. A man was handcuffed and arrested and dragged before court after falling off a sofa with laughter while watching Have I Got News For You. Chris Cock, 36, was enjoying the BBC One show when a joke made by a panelist, Paul Merton, made him double over with laughter. He collapsed on the floor, but the thud startled his downstairs neighbor who believed he had collapsed. Officers arrived and said, Cock. Was initially cooperative but became aggressive when they asked him his name and he tried to shut his front door. He was eventually disabled with parva spray through a gap and arrested. Jonathan Taylor, defending, said the officer accepts an the officer accepts in his statement that he had struck my client and then sprayed him again. He was handcuffed and unceremoniously thrown into the back of a police van. When he ended up in a police cell, he was asking himself how all this had happened. A police spokesman said Cocker became aggressive towards the officers who feared for their own safety. Next story, John. People with higher IQs are less likely to believe in God. In related news, people with lower IQs are less likely to be smart. Next story, John. Oh, that's a good one.
7 busted after cheers erupt at a South Carolina graduation. When Rock Hill School officials tell commencement crowds to hold their applause until the end, they damn well mean it. Police arrested 7 people after they are accused of loud cheering during a ceremony.
Six people at Fort Will High School graduation were charged Saturday with seventh. At a graduation for York Compensation High School, was charged Friday with disorderly conduct.
Conduct?
Police said the seven yelled at students as the students' names were called. I just thought they were going to escort me out, Jonathan Orr told the Herald Rock Hill. I had no idea they were going to put handcuffs on me and take me to jail. Last year in Galesburg, Illinois, five students were denied diplomas for the city's lone public school after enthusiastic friends or family members cheered for them during commencement. Students could get their diplomas after completing 8 hours of public service for the school district. Next story, John.
I'm eating liquor.
Keeping it classy, Rudy Giuliani is back in the news. He plans to do fundraisers for Republican hopefuls.
Great.
But only Excellent. If he gets a cut of the proceeds. Next story, John. A royal caught running around in the nude. Britain's Princess Eugenie has been reprimanded by her school after being caught frolicking naked on college grounds.
Eugenie?
Princess Eugenie is sixth in line to the British throne. The 18-year-old daughter of Princess Andrew, Duke of York, and Sarah Ferguson was apprehended for involvement in end-of-term hijinks in exclusive Marlborough College west of London. A royal source told the Press Association, "It was nothing more than hijinks at the end of the term in May. A group of them were reprimanded and SEN'd of the matter." Next story, John. If the penis doesn't fit, you must acquit. Rape suspect says a cast of his penis would lead to his acquittal. Lawyer calls Lansdale's man a freak of nature. Says girl's injuries don't match. The attorney representing a Lansdale man in a high-profile case wants a mold made of his client's cock to prove to jurors that he couldn't have committed the crime. Attorney Marvin Gold wants Montgomery County prison officials to give Ronald A. McDade, 33, the privacy and a special kit to make a cast of his genitalia before he's tried on charges that he raped a 13-year-old girl in January. Gold said McDade's accuser didn't suffer the injuries consistent with someone who had been assaulted with a huge cock.
Jesus.
His client, whom he described as a freak of nature, who is extraordinarily large. Prosecutor Todd Stevens called the request an outlandish attempt to create a sideshow. Gold said he came up with the idea for the mold on his own. After learning about the extent of the girl's injuries, he said they weren't as serious as one would expect. Gold said he plans to show the mold to the jury to bolster his case that the girl should have more injuries. Gold initially received permission from Judge Paul Tressler to take a camera and yardstick in the prison to photograph his client. That must be one massive cock, John. Next story. A Republican delegate from Texas is shocked to see statues of naked women's.
What?
In our nation's capital.
Naked women's?
Wants to remove all nudes from the National Gallery of Art because it gives him a boner.
What?
Next story, John. The tea bag, John. The tea bag.
What?
Is 100 years old. A British favorite born by mistake. Tea bagging is 100 years old this year. But not everyone is celebrating. The perforated paper sachet transferred a time-consuming afternoon ritual into a five-second quickie and saved the tea industry by fulfilling a modern imperative for convenience and instant gratification. But Absolutely. Many tea drinkers believe that the invention has also reduced one of the world's greatest drinks to a beige tannic concoction that neither refreshes nor satisfied. The tea bag, John.
That's on the side.
Next story. Avid TTN listeners, the United Nations, says Britain should abolish It's monarchy. Next story, John.
What?
Avid TTN listeners, yeah. The United Nations says that Britain should abolish its monarchy. Next story, John.
I got hung up on yes. United Nations listening to TTN.
Former TTN guest Stephen Hawking turns down title of Sir Stephen. Britain's most famous scientist, Stephen Hawking, has accused the government of making disastrous cuts to research funding that threaten the country's international standing. Hawking has released correspondence accusing ministers of putting science at risk through basic bookkeeping errors that have led to an $80 million shortfall and warning that several university physics departments may be forced to close. Separately, it has emerged that he turned down the offer of a knighthood. Professor Hawking does not like titles. In fact, he dislikes the whole concept of them, said a spokesman. The spokesman went on to say he's still a big fan of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. Next story, John.
Oh, yeah.
A new study finds that later school start times result in students getting more sleep. In other news, alcohol greases the wheels of foreplay. Women wear less clothes in the summer, and men's ball sacks sag after the age of 40. Next story, John. ABC, CBS, and NBC agree. Not news. This is not news. Discovery of hidden ties between media military analysts and the Pentagon. What is news? They all agree. A Vanity Fair photo of Miley Cyrus. Next story, John. Apparently having nothing better to do, the United States Senate voted unanimously Wednesday to affirm that John McCain is an American. In related news, they also confirmed he talks with a lisp, can't raise his arms above his head, and on occasion calls his wife a cunt. Oh, I think I knew who I'm voting for in November. Next story, John. Cop breaks into a guy's apartment on a kiddie porn raid. Cop assaults the man and rips out his catheter. Did I mention the cops raided the wrong apartment and didn't have a warrant?
Oh, jeez. No knock.
Next story, John. The W says he regrets tough guy talk on war. The W regrets tough guy talk on war. In related news, John, everyone on the planet regrets his presidency.
Good one.
Next and last story, John. This is out of Bangkok, Thailand. A suspected Australian drug smuggler died after some of the 60 hashish-packed condoms he allegedly swallowed burst.
Oh.
Thai police said. John Paul Jones,
what?
Not of Led Zeppelin, died in southern Thailand on Saturday after an X-ray. Allegedly found 60 hashish-packed condoms weighing a total of 28 ounces in his stomach.
Oh.
The scattered drugs badly affected his colon and liver, adding the Australian embassy was informed of his death. He said if Jones had survived, he would have faced a drug trafficking charge carrying a maximum prison term of 20 years, which would all but rule out the Led Zeppelin reunion. And that's the news.
Oh.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
All right, then.
I'm gonna go.
All right. Hurry up.
See you next week.
All right.
Do something with that door. Yeah, it sounds a little...
It, like, caused a
noisy
whole electrical sensation.
Yeah.
Some static.
I'm eating liquor.
It's gonna be a t-shirt. I'm eating licorice.
I'm eating licorice.
Oh. All right, man. 1:35 comes to a close. 1:35.
1:35. Thanks for listening. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And let's see, next week is what?
Next week is next week.
What do you mean?
Next week. Oh, it's not quite the comic book convention. It's
not
two
quite.
Weeks.
2 weeks. My daughter two is weeks. Excited about going.
Yeah.
And we're going to take portable recording devices and maybe get some interviews.
Yeah,
from
with
the
Princess
comic
Leia.
Convention. Yes, no
or
doubt.
Or somebody, yeah. Hey, you know, I've seen Kevin Smith at these things, by the way.
Really?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
we'll run into him. Yeah.
Last time he was there, he was like signing Daredevil comics or something.
Talk about Smodcast.
Yeah,
the Smodcast with Scott Mosier.
Mm, yeah, you guys are the fuckers that make fun of my show.
I've been behind on the Smodcast, but they had a conversation about saying. I'm like, Scott Mosier, that's not your problem. Your problem is saying like not So I was going to send them some MP3s.
You should, man.
Where we were... keeping track
get
of
a mention.
How many likes he said in a minute. I think it was 7 in a minute was his record. Or maybe it was 30 seconds. It was.
I sent Air America Radio our link and said, hey, you should listen to this show. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they blocked me.
Who's Air America?
Air America Radio,
oh,
man.
Oh, the radio. Right, yeah. Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
They blocked you.
Yeah,
what
came
is,
back with
that?
Some administrator thing that said my there was a link in my email.
Oh, I see.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Blocked.
F them. Yeah. Air America.
Yeah.
We're the real Air America.
Real deal. Right
the real
here.
Real no spin zone, John. Right here.
That's right. That's right.
Right now.
Fucking Bill O'Reilly sucks.
All right.
I agree with that.
All right, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
Later.
Happy Father's Day, Scott.
Thank you, John. You too.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.